Upfront, inside Atlanta's entertainment industry, is brought to you by Atlanta's Jazz Station, 91.9 FM, WCLK.
Coming up on this week's show, Upfront talks to CAU alumni and star of BET's The Quad, Larry Rim. The popular series is back for a second season and airs on Tuesday nights at 10 p.m. The cast of Growing Up Hip Hop Atlanta stop by to dish about their second season and the misconceptions of reality stars. Upfront also attended a private media dinner recently with Emmy-winning TV icon Jack A. Harry. The star of 227 and Sister Sister opens up about her new role on Tyler Perry's The Pains. She also talks candidly about the need for more opportunities for women of color. I'll also be playing music from Kindred Family Soul, Victor Wooten, and Alpha Mist. But first, here's this week's casting buzz and entertainment news with Reva Blue.
All right, Mr. DeMille, I'm ready for my close-up.
Central Casting is looking for an African-American woman who appears to be between the ages of 20 to 30 years old to portray a TV show reporter for the Fox series Star. If this is you, please send your full legal name, phone number, and a recent photo to star@centralcasting.com. In other related entertainment news, congratulations to Grammy-winning singer and Oscar-winning actress Jennifer Hudson. She will be starring as Aretha Franklin in a forthcoming biopic. Legendary music executive Clive Davis announced the big news during his recent pre-Grammy awards party. Hudson was reportedly handpicked by Franklin to star as her in the film. Stay tuned. Music legend Quincy Jones revealed in a recent GQ interview that he is working on several projects for his upcoming 85th birthday, including a Netflix documentary, a 10-part TV biopic that he hopes will star Atlanta's own Donald Glover, and a star-studded TV special that would be hosted by Oprah Winfrey. Go to WCLK to read the interview. And lastly, check out the new poster and trailer for the upcoming romantic thriller Tyler Perry's Acrimony. It debuts in theaters on March 30th, 2018 and stars Taraji P. Henson as a faithful wife who is tired of standing by her devious husband and is enraged when it becomes clear she has been betrayed. That's this week's casting buzz and entertainment news. I'm Reva Blue. Support for WCLK programming comes from Georgia State's Rialto Center, presenting the Afro-Cuban All-Stars, Saturday, February 3rd at 8 p.m. Juan DeMarcos and the Afro-Cuban All-Stars will close their U.S. tour at the Rialto. Ticket information is available online at rialto.gsu.edu.
Hey, yo, peace world, it's the Love King Raheem Devon, and you're listening to Ray Cornelius on Upfront.
The family essentially is a community.
My first guests are the stars of WeTV's popular series, Growing Up Hip Hop Atlanta, Rejanae, Brandon, Shania, and Ayana. The foursome stopped by the Upfront studios recently to chat about their new season and what fans can expect. They also sound off on viewers' perceptions of them and what they want to see more of from their peers.
What's up, everybody, and welcome to Upfront. How's everyone doing?
Great.
Good. How are you?
Yeah, you guys look great.
Thank you.
I'm talking to the cast of Growing Up Hip Hop Atlanta. Let's get some introductions from everyone. Let's start over here to my left.
Hi, everybody. I'm Ayana.
I'm Rejanae.
Hello, everyone. My name is Shania.
I'm Brandon.
Brandon. All right, guys. So this is the second time around, second season of the show back on WeTV. What was that first season like? What was one of the biggest lessons that you guys learned? Because a lot of times when you go back and you see the show, it's like, did I do that? Or did I really say that? Or, you know, like, did that really happen? So Mm-mm. What is some... No? Mm-mm. No, Brandon, no? You're shaking your head?
Take notes on everything you say and do.
Really?
Because that's what I learned the first season.
Yeah. What's another lesson, Ayana?
Be careful what you say, because it can be twisted into other things. It's been a couple times when you're filming this season, I'd be like, I shouldn't have said that because I already know that they about to edit it to make it look like something else. Mm-hmm. And then when they finally do edit it, you didn't know that they was going to edit it that way. So then that causes real life drama off camera when there was no drama to begin with. So that was my biggest lesson, watching your mouth.
Yeah. Shania?
I mean, pretty much the same thing. Yeah, just being careful what you say. That's pretty much the biggest thing. I mean, our personal lives is real life, so can't really be careful about that because that's what we're going into this doing. So
yeah. So how much, you guys mentioned that, how much of what we see is actually real? Because, you know, a lot of times we hear that reality shows are scripted. But how much of what we're seeing, and especially with this coming season, how much of that is real? How much of what we're seeing is your real life?
I don't want to speak for everybody else, but when that camera hits Reginae Carter, Reginae Carter is Reginae Carter. But that's like Ayana said, you don't know what happens in the editing room. So it's like, I don't really know. But this is me. I feel like we're all like who we are when the camera hits. Like we have our conversations. It's real reality. Like it's real life. Especially this season, yeah. Definitely real.
Yeah, how much pressure is there to be the son or the daughter of someone famous? I mean, we hear it all the time, and it's like, man, you know, it's lights and cameras all the time, or you're constantly under a microscope. But just from your perspective, and now that you're doing reality television, how much of a pressure are you guys under?
I guess I'll take it. I guess I don't really want to say pressure as far as in the spotlight on so much what we do, but I'll say that we're always criticized and judged based upon what we decide to do, especially let a mistake happen. You know, a lot of people think we have it easy, but we don't. You know, because of who our parents are, people always look at us and expect more from us. So we're always criticized and judged based on our every move.
When did you guys know that your parents were a pretty big deal? Like, wow, this is not just, you know, the average mom. My mom isn't going to PTA meetings or anything like that. So when did you know, or when did you know that your brother, Brandon, was someone of note?
When I was going to award shows and I was around all of these inspirational people and I'm like, oh, wait, my dad's getting an award up there. Oh, Lord, he's somebody. We somebody. Yeah. Well, for me, it happened later on in life. When I realized how big the Beastie Boys were, like I did, like when I was little, I didn't realize that. That happened for me later on in life when my dad started getting inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. And then I see, like to me, they were always just these goofy white boys that was always at our house. But later on in life, when I saw how big they were, I was like, oh snap, my daddy is somebody. Okay, all right. You got a little bit of juice.
Yeah. Is there any pressure from your parents to go towards the entertainment industry? A lot of times you have kids that have famous, you know, relatives and they're doing something totally opposite. But do you guys feel that for yourselves?
No.
No?
Not at all. I mean, my dad and my mom especially, like they always push me to go after what I'm most passionate about. So, I mean, it was never like a pressure into rapping or singing or wanting to act. It's okay if you want to do that and this is, you know, up to you, then you do it.
What do you think are some of the biggest misconceptions about that fans may have about you or that the viewers may have about you from the show?
Okay, I'll take this one. Hey, it's Reginae. Well, I just want to say fans may see, okay, this is how I feel. People outside looking in don't understand that, one, like, I was born into this world. Like, my dad was already a star. So it's like, my world to me is like, okay, I'm very humble. I'm cool. But yeah, I am spoiled because I always got what I want. But at the same time, my parents taught me, like, listen, humble yourself. But I feel like people kind of take it in a different way with me. They call me a spoiled brat, but I'm still learning. I'm growing. I'm a normal kid. I'm 19 years old. I'm not gonna have everything perfect, you know. Yeah, I'm gonna get flip at the mouth. I'm gonna do stuff, but at the same time, I'm learning from what I'm doing, and I feel like I should be accepted by everything that I'm learning. I shouldn't be judged or, oh, she this and she that, because hey, I'm still a kid. Like, you guys got to grow up and go through whatever. Just because my parents are in the limelight, I have to look at it a certain way or go about things a different way. That's how I feel about it.
Yeah. All right. This is Black History Month, so wanted to know, who are some of your personal heroes or sheroes, that people that you just kind of look up to or that you admire? It can be anyone.
Like a historical figure?
It can be anyone.
Well, I was going to say my mom, but that's not like a historical
figure. Girl, me and you both. Oprah.
Yeah? What is it about Oprah?
That speech she just did, man, she just, oh, man, let me tell you.
I just watched it in the car, too.
This is what I say. I love that these young guys out here want to be rappers, and these girls out here, they want to have mink lashes and mink hair and stuff. But I want to see more doctors, like these young men being doctors, and these females going around doing some inspirational stuff. Like, that's what I want to start seeing. You know, 2018, we got enough hairlines. We got enough mink lashes. Like, let's go around and talk to these young girls, or talk to, like, I want to go around and start talking to young girls my age and want to just tell them that, listen, we all going through the same stuff. We can talk it out. We don't have to bash one another. Oh, that's my dude. We fighting over dudes. Like, we need to change. And this music is, and we say, yeah, we want to be rappers. We want to be singers. Let's use that music and change the world. You know, change up the music. Change up the vibe. You know? That's how I feel.
Yeah.
I mean, not only that, but just stepping into, like, what it is that you really want to do. At the end of the day, like, you know, Nay said, there are a lot of entertainers out there. What we don't have is enough doctors. What mm-hmm. we don't have is enough lawyers. Mm-hmm. When you look at the direction that the world is going now, these are primary jobs. Lawyers, doctors, dentists, you know, regardless of whatever the heck it is. Excuse me, I'm trying not to curse.
Yeah.
But, you know, regardless of what it is, we definitely need more of that. I think now we're in a time frame of people just catching on to what's cool.
Mm, the way.
So watching Oprah's speech, and she would definitely be one of the people that I would consider a historical, mm-hmm. you know, figure, you know, at least for our people, because she's leading. A lot of people were saying that we are in the, what was it, the year of the woman. I don't believe that. I believe this is the decade of the woman. Like, it's really time for women to come together and band together and stick up. And I just think that's dope. I feel like as soon as that happened, everything is going to fall into place as far as structure. When you look at a woman, it's all about structure. That's what you attracted to. That's what you mentally attracted to and physically, you know, at the end of the day. But also, when women get it together and really take over and do what they truly want to do and do what they genuinely desire, I feel like everybody else, meaning the men, we will take heed to that and fall into place.
I feel you, Brandon. That's good. All right. Yes.
Well, guys, thank you so much for stopping by the Upfront Studios. Again, I'm talking to the cast of Growing Up Hip Hop Atlanta, and looking forward to seeing you guys on the screen.
Thank you for having us.
All the time I've been building my castle.
Cassie Davis here. You're listening to Upfront with Ray Cornelius. Take it away, Ray!
You told me that laundromat made $8,000 a month.
Well, it did.
When?
1 month back in 1987. It was after the hurricane. There were no other laundromats working. We were doing business round the clock.
I want to choke you.
Ooh. Why? Why you want to choke me?
Because you lied to me. You told me the business made out, did all that business. This laundromat puts us over his business.
Curtis, it can. You just gotta, you gotta put some love in it.
There ain't that much love in the world.
Ain't much love in your heart. But it's in the world.
That was a clip from Tyler Perry's The Pains, featuring my next guest, Jack A. Harry. The iconic TV and Broadway star is back on primetime as Joanne Payne in the spinoff that airs Friday nights on OWN. I caught up with Harry during a private media dinner recently to chat about her character and how she's evolving each week.
I'm still doing it. That's what I'm saying. It's so new. I know LeVan and Cassie get along with them very well, but the other cast members that they're, you know, are lesser known, of course, and they're gorgeous. Is that food? They're gorgeous. And they're good, and they just have to get known. So the story's evolving. And it's like, you know, he does social issues. He combines comedy and drama with social issues. He's good at it. So that's what's, you know, and he's ahead of his time. We did all these shows way ahead of this Me Too movement. It's about women and empowerment. Can you believe that? So she's into that. Joanne's serious, though. She runs a shelter for abused women and children. She's so it's all in there, yeah. So it's still growing. I'm still feeling it. I don't know how. It ain't gonna be no have and have not, but I ain't gonna be that deep. But it's evolving, you know, and I like where it's going.
Harry is the first and currently the only African-American to win an Emmy Award for Outstanding Supporting Actress in a Comedy Series and talked very candidly about the need for more projects for women of color.
Because it should be more. We know that. Yes. It ain't right. I mean, Halle Berry's still the only one who won an Oscar. Yeah. And we have other Oscar winners. They're supporting actors. That's good, you know, but we can name them. The fact that you can still name them makes it still not enough. Yeah. We know that. But we got to get the writers and producers to think of stories for us, you know. But it has gotten better, more visually better. But for women, especially women of color, it's just, across the board, theater, TV, it's just not enough parts, you know. So I'm proud of it, though. I'm proud of it, but I would like there to be another sister. I'd like to look across, and I mean a woman, you know, look across. Water seeks its own level is what I say. So you're looking for a peer that you can go, how does it feel, girl? I don't have anybody, you know, you're kind of alone. So, but I'm proud of it.
The Broadway star also talked about changes in the industry, including prejudices and communication.
Well, I just think that women are given more opportunities. It's just that I was talking to a young lady today. I said, I have prejudices, and my prejudices, forget it, I'm hungry. Even when we get pregnant, women, we still have to take that time off and have that baby, and then we're not always welcome back. And they can't fire you, but you miss heartbeats. Yeah. You know, things go on, and then when you come back, they blame you. Yeah. Ain't nobody else having them babies, so we got to have them. And I see it all the time, and I'm part of it because it's like you're not available. You know, I'm just saying the prejudices that exist are what's evolving. Because now when I see a pregnant, I don't think nothing of it. But I know when she go off on hiatus to take care of that baby, somebody might step right over her. See, I don't like that. And they can't fire you, but you'll miss a heartbeat. So it's evolving that way that we don't mind seeing it because we didn't want to even see pregnant women. You know, they didn't even want you on. So it's evolving that way. But the style of delivery, Judd Apatow, I blame him. They call it the mumble or the mumble compromise. You know, the kind of way they do acting now. It's like even Get Out. When you watch it, the way he talks, they call it, it's the way he talks it. If you're not with it, you don't get it. And Get Out, I had to watch it. I think I got to watch it four more times to get it. I don't get it. Just the style of acting. So it's evolved. The way we talk has evolved finally onto film. Spike Lee was way ahead of his time when She's Gotta Have It. Now with Get Out, Jordan Peele, he talks the way you guys talk. .com kids. You know, that's why I stay on social media. I call y'all .com babies. Yeah, because y'all get it. It's a lingo. It's like WYD, I know right away. And everybody's like, what's that? Everybody over 50. I was like, y'all, good in here. You know, it makes a difference. So it's evolved in that we're communicating better.
I also asked her the secret to her longevity and how she sustained her career throughout the decades.
Humor. If I was doing drama, everybody ain't Viola Davis, you know. I wanted to be the greatest actress around, and but it's not enough part. So I just comedy keeps me busy because I would love to retire and do jobs here and there. It ain't happening, and we ain't got that many, and y'all seem to still be enthralled. I was like, well, hey, I'll go and do the, you know, just don't want to get bored and boring. So it's humor, Plus the fact, you know, I know y'all, you little boys, girls.
The WCLK Jazz Calendar is made possible by support from the Sweet Food Lounge. Tonight, Juan DeMarcos and the Afro-Cuban All-Stars play the Rialto Center for the Arts at Georgia State on this Saturday, February 3rd. Vocalists Rachelle Farrell and Jeffrey Osborne celebrate the Valentine's Day holiday on Saturday, February 10th at the Fox Theater. And finally, Avery Sunshine, Layla Hathaway, Robert Glasper, and more are performing at the 2018 St. Lucia Jazz Festival, May 6th through the 13th. Also, WCLK's Mark Angel will be hosting the Contemporary Jazz Showcase from the festival. Information on travel packages are available at LT Travel Connections at 770-323-7118. That's today's Jazz Calendar. For these and more live jazz performances, log on to WCLK.com and check out the events calendar. I'm Riva Blue.
Hey, this is Jasmine Guy, and you're listening to Upfront with Ray Cornelius.
My last guest is CAU alumni and star of BET's The Quad, Larry Rim. He stopped by to chat about the new season and the arc for his character, Bryson Richardson. He also talks about his future projects, including a one-man show and a documentary.
Well, good morning, Larry Rim, and welcome back to Upfront. What's going on?
I'm cooling, man. Thank you for having me come out again. Appreciate it.
So excited. The Quad is back on BET Tuesday nights, 9 p.m., right?
10 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Central.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. A lot going on. Got a chance to catch the first episode, which premiered last week.
Yes.
And gotta say, I so love what you guys are doing. You know, the opening scene was so reminiscent of school days. The irony that was shot
on the same area.
That they begin school days with the introduction of the Gamites and stuff like that, and the protesting on school days. It was about divesting in South Africa, but this time we're talking about making sure that the HBCU does not become a mainstream, you know, majority university, or attaching itself to, I think it was, you're calling it the
like a white school, the white university system.
Yeah. Basically. So let's talk about that, because one of the criticisms that you know, when the show aired last year, was that it was a whole lot going on at GAMU, and it wasn't as diverse in terms of its issues and subjects that it was addressing. So I really love the fact that it opened up this time with the students protesting about keeping the university in HBCU. So let's talk about that storyline.
Well, I feel like it was a very interesting route to go with it, because last season was so heavy with everything going on with the rape and the sexual assault and everything on campus. And I think that was the core of the season, in my opinion, for last season. So I like the fact that they fast forwarded and went on to something totally new, totally fresh. And I feel like it's crazy, because I was just telling you a minute ago, I was looking at tweets and people were saying, like, you know, wow, like the same thing is going on with my cousin's school or my friend's school. You know what I mean? So it's definitely something that is happening, as far as taking historically black institutions and basically whitewashing them, you know, because financial issues or whatever, you know. And they're really questioning, like you were telling me before, you know, the interview, the relevance of the HBCU. Are we relevant anymore? And I really feel like it is something that starts a conversation that is very important and something needs to be talked about, because a lot of people wouldn't even really know.
Yeah.
You know, before I started reading the script, I was like, really? I mean, I knew we were kind of going through this, but is it really as big as what we're making it this season? And apparently it is.
Yeah. I mean, because it was, when I saw it, I was like, wow. You know, because again, I think right now with people talking about, are HBCUs relevant during this time with so much diversity going on? Enrollment is so key to keeping these universities, you know, intact and making sure that the money is coming in and things of that nature. So I thought that was very timely and on point to open it up with that. Your character
is seems to have a lot of just in that first episode, a lot of stuff going on.
He already got secrets. he already has secrets, man. it was interesting because this was something that we were talking about last season. As far as, you know, the blue blood and, you know, I'm legacy and everything. And my father is in the fraternity. My brother's in the fraternity. And
he's very traditional. He's all about tradition.
Yes. Yeah. All about traditional. Like, he wants me to check the same checklist that he's checking off, you know, that he checked off when he was in school. So to read the first script and see that it's opening up with me already, it's going down, like, right away.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It made it very interesting, and I feel like it's going to change the dynamic between Cedric's relationship and myself.
Yeah.
You know, last season, I was very much supportive of everything that he was going through with losing his girlfriend and being accused of murder and all these things, and wondering if he wanted to stay in school or not, wanting to get revenge, you know what I mean? So I think I played a very key supportive part for him, just wanting to be there for a friend.
Yeah.
And I think this season the tables will possibly turn a little bit, you know. We'll see.
We'll see how
it opens up. But yeah, I'm very excited about it.
Now, what's been the response so far from your fans and friends with your character? Seeing you last season, what was that? What was the immediate response?
Well, everybody, first of all, when it's friends and family, everybody's excited to see you on TV.
Yeah.
Or, you know, he made it. He's there. He got it.
Yeah.
Can I hold something?
Yeah.
and, you know, so initially it's just the pure excitement of people rooting for you.
Yeah.
You know, so I had friends, though, that actually watched the show and they were like, you know what? Honestly, I was watching it for you, but if you weren't on this show, I would still watch it because it's so good.
Yeah.
And I really like your character. I have a couple of friends. Well, I have a friend of mine, one of my closest friends, John Jones, who lives in North Carolina. Shout out to John Jones. I would call him and his family like every week after the episode. And we would sit down and we would talk about the episodes, like what they got out of it, because they're not in entertainment at all. They love television, movie shows.
Right.
So they were just like, we love the arc, you know, that is happening with your character and showing the type of person you are, because at first we thought you were a jerk. We thought you were just a straight up jerk. As soon as he comes in, you know, he's like, nah, that's my TV. You know what I mean? It's like, okay, he's going to be a butthole. You know what I mean? But moving forward, they saw that, wow, you're really just trying to be there, you know, for your friend. And I feel like the arrogant side of you comes straight from your father. You know, so it was just fun just having those conversations and just getting their insight on it. My mom loves it. She tells everybody, like, you know, my baby, make sure you watch it on Tuesday. You know, Pastor hits me up. He calls me up on to the front. And, yeah, Larry, come on up here and tell them about what you got going on. So it's, you know, it's very exciting.
So the quad is on, but what's next? What you got next?
Oh, I got a lot going on right now. I actually just finished writing a short. I actually just sent the character breakdowns to my agent. So I will be shooting my first short February 17th. It's called Broken. I'm not in it. I'm directing it. And it's basically about women who are going through different trials and tribulations. And from a man's perspective, just letting you know that, you know, we do see you and we feel you and we empathize for your struggle. And we're here to let you know that you can make it through, you know, and you don't necessarily need a man to tell you that you can make it through, you know. But, you know, it was just my thing of reaching out. You know, my mother reached out to me and she asked me, she was speaking for a women's conference, and she was like, hey, can you help me with this and maybe write a poem or something for this women's conference? And I sat down one night and I wrote it, and she loved it. And, you know, I was like, after I looked at it a few times, I was like, wow, this could actually be a really good visual. So I made a script around the poem, and yeah, we have Broken. So I have that. I have a documentary that I want to do based on actors here in Atlanta in different stages.
Okay.
My one-man show, my manager and I are working on that. We're going to make sure that happens this year, hopefully the second quarter of the year. And I want to pitch a few ideas about some television ideas. So last year was very good for me because I didn't know what to do next. And once the season was over, in my mind, I was thinking, once it's over, I'm gonna have all these opportunities just coming for me. And it doesn't necessarily work that way. Sometimes it does, but in my case, it didn't. So this season, I was like, how do I use the platform that I have and build on it? So I have all these ideas in my head, and my manager and I sat down and we talked, and he was like, well, let's get some of these through. In a perfect world, how much can you accomplish within this year?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So he's really given me a focus. Because as an artist, I know with me, I can be all over the place, you know. So to have somebody actually tell you, no, we're gonna have checkpoints. The first 3 weeks, what do we have done, you know? So that's really keeping me grounded and focused on the goal, man. So this is gonna be a really great year, a year of creativity to me.
Yeah, yeah. Well, yeah. Congratulations, and we're really super excited about what's happening for you.
Thank you.
We're talking to Larry Rim, star of The Quad. You star as Bryce again. Airing on Tuesday nights at 10 p.m. on BET, second season, and we're really excited to see the rest of how this all plays itself out.
Oh, man, it gets real. It gets real. It gets so exciting. I had so much fun this season. I can't wait for everybody to watch. I can't give nothing away because I get cussed out.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I don't want that.
Yeah,
we'll want
that. All right, ladies and gentlemen, Larry Rim, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for listening to today's show. I'd really like to thank all of my special guests, the cast of Growing Up Hip Hop Atlanta, Larry Rim, and Jack A. Harry. I would also like to thank my engineer, Mark Angel, and you. Please join us next Saturday, February 10th at 9 a.m. for another exciting edition of Upfront, inside Atlanta's entertainment industry. Happy Saturday, Atlanta. If you like today's show, please hit us up at WCLK.com. We'd love to hear from you.
Upfront, inside Atlanta's entertainment industry, has been brought to you by Atlanta's Jazz Station 91.9 FM WCLK, an NPR member-supported station.